side. Stay with us for the latest at the Pacific Trading Company. Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're still here. They're going after San Francisco Liberation Radio. That's the word from the Chronicle, I guess it was yesterday, and I hope to actually get in touch with Richard Edmonton. Or is it Edmondson? I can never be clear on that one, or not at the moment anyway. Longtime radio broadcaster, author, Food Not Bombs, worker, and social critic up in San Francisco. The FCC came to the San Francisco Liberation Radio's door the other day, and they said they'd be back in 10 days to shut them down because they don't have the proper papers. Not good. Of course, free radios can't get the proper papers due to corporate control in Washington and bureaucratic pettifogging as well in federal agencies. And we've kind of covered that subject at different points and different times. The V-Man's particularly good at covering that stuff. And I hope at some point by Sunday to have an interview with Richard so he can, if he's covering it these days, I don't know, Richard has kind of withdrawn a bit from San Francisco Liberation Radio. We can get some information. Anyway, my name is Robert Norris. I'm also known as Bathrobe Spear Robert when I can find a bathrobe. Although recently the focus has not been on the sleeping ban, the reason for the bathrobe, the challenge the anti-homeless law in Santa Cruz makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11, but on the situation downtown where a whole series of ordinances are harassing and creating a draconian police atmosphere for not simply homeless people, but for performers, musicians, ordinary tourists, longtime residents, you name it. The police are hot and heavy and thick and many on Pacific Avenue along with their buddies, the purple-shirted hosts, and, of course, their friends, the sympathetic merchants, who have encouraged this rather unfortunate situation to develop, particularly around the Pacific Trading Company. I've been noticing this because that's where I've been spending a number of afternoons tabling and encouraging people to boycott the Pacific Trading Company and the Jackson's Shoes, the adjacent store down there at Walnut and Pacific. Why? Don't I like it? I just like shoes? Do I not like upscale women's clothing? No. No, I got nothing against that stuff, although it's not really my cup of tea most of the time. But my concern is, what have these businesses been doing behind the scenes and indeed in the limelight to make it illegal for homeless people to sit on 95% of the sidewalk, railing off planters so that 20 or 30 seating spaces are eliminated from the public area, pulling out benches, fencing off areas of the public sidewalk and privatizing them, as was done in New Leaf Market for the what was Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now, what is now Alfresco's and the Cafe Campesino. And I want to point out that they have moderated their policy so much so that HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, has officially suggested that we're not interested in boycotting them anymore. They seem to have adopted a different policy and a different attitude, even though there is that fence there that takes up two-thirds of the sidewalk. As long as the seating is allowed to be generally public, I suppose with preference given to customers, although that is something that's a little hard to stomach since the seating has not been replaced, we've called off the boycott there because we try to acknowledge when businesses try to make some move in a direction that returns the public spaces to the entire community and returns the whole Pacific Avenue to everyone, and not just those who are part of the tourist machine or the money machine that some merchants apparently think that the Avenue has main purpose now is. City Council, unfortunately, seems to be a part of that whole process at the moment. So, a lot of things have been happening, and as usual, I don't have much time to cover it. I'm going to begin with a little bit of tape from today. Today we had a Brownies Against Bigotry feed in front of the Pacific Trading Company, where Joe Schultz generously made brownies for the cause, you might say, the cause of reopening Pacific Avenue to everyone, the cause of restoring seating downtown, the cause of standing up against police harassment and city council collusion with merchants. Some have called the police-merchant-government collusion a form of, dare I say it, fascism. I know that Mike Rodkin likes to poo-poo that word, and Cynthia Matthews turns pink in the face and then urges us to patronize the Pacific Trading Company. She's a councilwoman, in case you don't recognize the name. But in fact, fascism is what it is when business and government and the police all get together and start doing things in a particularly militaristic police state fashion, where the police seem to have the power to make decisions usually in favor of the merchant interests, and the merchants sit back and allow the Constitution to dissolve in front of their eyes, which is what we saw happening on Sunday. And I'm going to be playing some of that tape. On Sunday, two people were arrested for tabling for more than 60 minutes. They had a little display device table, one smaller than the other. One had an ironing board. Steve Argue had an ironing board, and then and Matt Hartzog had a, or Hartog, I'm sorry, had a little teeny table that Steve Argue actually brought and was going to use himself, but he got hauled away with the ironing board before he could pull out his table, and that was that. We got some tape of that, and we also have some videotape. It was quite a circus, you know, and quite an opportunity for the community to see just how far the city council, the Pacific Trading Company, the Jackson's Shoes, the police will go to enforce absurd repressive laws, even at the cost of creating great dissension in the community. And we're going to be playing that. And we brought the issue to city council. We were greeted on Tuesday night, actually Tuesday afternoon, there was no evening city council meeting on Tuesday, with a series of lies, a series of rationalizations, a series of... First we were told we couldn't talk until 4 hours later. The council session began at the unusual time of 1:30, and instead of being allowed to talk on the agenda item as it came up, we were told they were going to put that agenda item at the end of the entire agenda, four and a half hours later. And it was only happenstance that some of us happened to be back at that time. I mean, much as we are devoted to the public interest, a lot of us are concerned about these particular issues around the issue of... First Amendment right, let's say, to table downtown without being driven away by a police officer because you've been there for 61 minutes on the public sidewalk. Sitting around and waiting a whole afternoon to get in 3 minutes before Emily Riley either interrupts you or cuts you off curtly or spends 15 minutes denouncing you afterward or just denouncing your issue afterward, she or her colleagues on the council, it is obviously not worth the time to do that, although, you know, the television crew may be able to hear you if Emily doesn't turn off your mic, if she doesn't order the cameras turned away from you, as she did from me about a month ago, and I tried to bring up the case of the man who's still going to court, John Moore, who had a little sign, "Fuck the pigs," in his hat after he'd been harassed repeatedly by the police. He just put up his opinion of the police, and the police's opinion was, we'll use the law to suppress the First Amendment and punish you for criticizing us. And when I tried to bring up that issue, that the police had ticketed him twice, once for that sign and another time under the same law, which is panhandling with using a profane or abusive language, and by John Moore's account, he wasn't panhandling, he was simply making a statement. He was panhandling at other times. He has been panhandling, but his statement there was in response to police actually doing things like use the move-along law, which they used on him as well. 61 minutes, and now you have to move along. You know, that sort of thing. As I said, the council countenanced Emily Riley's turning off my mic and cutting the cameras off me and essentially interrupting me repeatedly and ordering me to move. Clear Brown Act violation. Brown Act says she can't do that because the public have the right to make at least a 3-minute statement, even if the council doesn't like to hear it, provided they're not, you know, throwing, explosive objects through the air or disrupting in such a fashion that the meeting can't continue. And Riley's response to that was, I find the word fuck disruptive. Well, these folks like to make things up as they go, and they feel that their position in power somehow will justify and see them through. In fact, hopefully that's not the case, and we have several cases going to court. As regular listeners know, we have one case involving Mayor Crone actually being pushed by Councilmember Fitzmaurice and supported by the rest of the council for my raising my arm in a silent Heil Crone salute because Crone abusively treated Susan Zeman, a peace activist at the mic, not letting her speak, cutting her off before her time was up, before the time for oral communications had passed. And when I silently raise my hand to indicate you're acting like a bunch of fascists, they stop the meeting and have me arrested at Fitzmaurice's urging. And that case is now in federal court in September. It'll be argued, the appeal will be argued. It was initially dismissed on a summary dismissal, but it's going back to a higher court, and we'll see where we get with it. And there are other cases, too. Incidentally, three of them involving Sergeant Butchie Baker. He's the sergeant who was involved again on Sunday afternoon, when the arrests of Argue and Hartog took place. We're going to hear some of that. While I set that up, however, let's hear a little bit of what happened today downtown with the Brownies Against Bigotry. The police were using it was an interesting situation. The police were using a different tactic today. Today downtown, there was a lot of controversy back and forth between myself, others, and Clark Heinrich, the co-owner, or perhaps owner, I'm not sure what is, he's certainly one of the owners of the Pacific Trading Company. But the police and the host stayed strictly away. They wouldn't come near us or even tell us to move our tables. He had a table, I had a table. We went, both of us, for about 2 hours I know at least I did. He was for now maybe an hour and a half. I'm not quite sure how long he was, but it was certainly over the 1 hour time. And before, they've been doing the stopwatch thing on us. And also, I was assured by him that he had not called the police on us today. Apparently, it's getting to be kind of bad publicity for the Pacific Trading Company to try to drive away political tailors after an hour. They've kindly come to the realization that, indeed, the sidewalks are public, and if it becomes knowledge that they are the instrumental party in driving away tailors, that they're not going to get a particularly good write-up from a lot of people, even those who don't particularly like me, who don't particularly like the noise I make when I try to raise civil rights issues that apparently get blanketed in silence and indifference and business as usual. But even they get concerned when they hear that private corporations, private businesses can somehow use the police to drive away, well, let's say HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that was doing this boycott bigotry in front of the Pacific Trading Company, but allow Mr. Twister to continue his balloon making. Mr. Twister's a great guy. I like Corey. He's a sweet man. He's done a lot of good things downtown in terms of essentially telling the meter maids and the meter people, you know, don't mess with the Good Samaritanism. Don't mess with charitable acts. He was, as you may remember, some time ago, almost a decade ago, arrested and or cited for putting coins in meters that weren't his, parking meters, in order to help out people who were about to be ticketed by the meter police. And it became such a national issue that the city council backed down and apologized, and they tried to make a big joke out of it. And Mr. Twister became a nationally famous figure for that. Properly so. I think when people who stand up to that kind of oppression have to be acknowledged and should be acknowledged. Now, unfortunately, on the Pacific Trading Company issue, he and I are on opposite sides of the fence. He seems to have a different point of view, and you'll be able to hear his point of view. I'm going to play a debate he had with Becky Johnson on Sunday after the arrests of Argue and Hartog took place. And you'll be able to make up your own mind what you think your position should be or what your thoughts are on that. And he also has informed me, Mr. Twister has, a couple days later, that the police are again, the meter maids are again telling him, at least one was, that he can't put money in meters in order to stop other people from getting tickets because that's illegal. And in fact, he told me, one meter maid give a person a ticket even after he had put money in the meter because she said he was not legal for him to do that, and she was going to ticket the car anyway. So I'm glad to know to inform everybody that he's out there on the beat trying to make Santa Cruz a friendlier town, you know, for the shoppers. I mean, I don't usually have a lot to say for the shoppers because it seems to me that they get enough support from other areas, but I'm usually up there supporting, you know, youth or homeless people who are harassed or small sellers of marijuana who are getting messed with or people of color who get the shaft. But, you know, I think that I want to take off my hat to Mr. Twister for doing this. Now, what you're going to hear now is, of course, a different side of this. You're going to hear Mr. Twister defending essentially the businesses or, well, I'll let him speak for himself. And this, again, this is a Sunday conversation. I think that's what we're going to be listening to. Let's see here. So many unlabeled tapes, I don't know which end is up. Yeah, I think this is it. Let's begin with this tape and see if we can catch discussions right after the arrest between... It's some hours, actually, after the arrest of Steve Argue and Matt Hartog, both taken to jail. Matt actually dragged to jail to the squad car, and this man is a cancer patient. It was quite a scene. We're going to be playing that a bit later. By the way, in case you forgot, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and if you want to call in at any time, 427-3772 is the number, 427-3772. You can also try the email address, rnorse, R-N-O-R-S-E, rnorse, @hotmail.com, and I'll be checking that occasionally.
Okay, well, it's about 8:05 in front of the Pacific Trading Company on Sunday, July 6, 2003. And I'm standing here Wow, with Becky Johnson, and we're observing Mr. Twister and his clown associate. They're back within 100 feet of where they were before, and it's not 24 hours yet. Am I wrong? Is my watch fast or slow? Or?
I think they're about 10 feet from where they were when Sergeant Baker gave them the move-along about, what was that, 4:30, 5 o'clock?
We moved because your crowd couldn't control themselves and started cussing in front of the children.
And this is Mr. Twister speaking. And again, the issue that's being discussed is how come Mr. Twister gets left alone or can come back before the 24 hours is up, but other people who use the same display get arrested or dragged off to jail or cited or harassed. And you get to hear Mr. Twister's take on all this, and that voice you're about to hear and have heard is Mr. Twister.
I heard Sergeant Baker tell you that it was time to move along.
Sergeant Baker asked us if we could move just a little out that way to make sure the congestion would go away, but it's for our decision to move over near the boardwalk. It was because we didn't want to deal with people, their hard, nailing attitude, their cursing in front of our kids.
Okay, well, I guess I misunderstood the situation. I thought that since
we were not legally required to move.
I don't understand that at all, because it looked like you had a non-commercial display device similar to our non-commercial display device.
Really incredible, considering the moment we came back, management came out to thank us and apologize for the fact that we have to deal with this through your organization.
What management are you talking about?
What? Trading Company, Jackson Shoes, and Marini's Candies have all, in the last couple of hours, expressed their appreciation.
Well, I appreciate you, the work you do with twisting balloons for kids here and making Santa Cruz, keeping Santa Cruz weird and all that. I appreciate that, too.
I just want to know what it is about the fact that you have to move your booth every hour that you find that you should get arrested before you move it from the one place you're protesting. Can't you protest this shop from there? There, or, by the way, I'm only pointing 30, 40 feet away.
Okay, well, first off, I think the move-along law is just blatantly unconstitutional. We have the right to freedom of speech and to petition and to seek redress of grievances against our government 24 hours a day. They can't time, space, place, and manner limit it to 1 hour and 24.
No, you could protest yours from any point on the street. The reason you don't want to move is this is the place that you are protesting.
Yeah, but the First Amendment gives me the authority to do it 24 hours in one spot, providing I'm not obstructing the sidewalk or interfering in a business.
As they say, keep it moving. A table is not keeping moving.
Keeping it moving is an unconstitutional law, Corey.
But it has been in effect since my grandfather's time. If you stop moving, you're no longer protesting. You're loitering. Leave.
The loitering laws were thrown out in the mid-80s as the courts ruled that you can't arrest someone for basically doing nothing.
But you can get them to do that while you're not supposed to be on their property.
This is a public space. You're in a public space right now. I was in a public space earlier.
It says over there near the window, no loitering, because people keep leaning against the window. And every time they lean against the window, they set off the alarms. Now, the reason the sign's there is for an obvious reason. Not because some political, intrigue they're going to get you for us. They set off the alarm every time they lean against the window.
Well, you can't have a no loitering law on private property. And that is on private property. The alcove part is.
But these rails right here, as Robert has described several times, have been something that he's sore and mad about. The fact that they found a non-violent solution to their problem should be applauded, not condemned.
You know, it's non-violent arresting a person for, possession of less than an ounce of marijuana and putting them in jail. That's not necessarily violent, but it's wrong.
Well, it depends on what side of the issue that you're on. And, of course, if you had a medical marijuana card. If you're receiving it as a prescription, fine. If not, everyone who breaks the law is subject to the same judgments.
Well, Corey, what I'm saying is that there are laws that are inherently wrong just in the writing of them, on their face. And the move-along law is unconstitutional on its face.
Finding a peaceful solution to a problem.
It's
people down
peaceful.
Here smell.
Did you see peaceful today with people yelling?
They have
dragged off to jail.
And they're using our facilities for what out there not made for it. This was not ever made to be a sitting position. Once people started using it.
All the planters were designed to have seating area, and that was in the recovery plan for Vision Santa Cruz with the redesigning them all after the earthquake. They did design these planters as planters for seating area.
And once it started to draw a non or criminal element, they decided to find a nonviolent solution to their problem. Now you can't sit there. Therefore, the drug dealers that were here are moved.
Corey, the people who were selling drugs here are still selling drugs somewhere.
Yes, but the point is they had a nonviolent solution to doing it here at their facility.
It's not a solution. They didn't solve any problem except for that people who used to sit down can't sit down anymore.
Undesirable in the first place.
It's collective punishment. Basically, no one in the community can sit down, including the undesirable types,
that's one reason why it is universal. They got rid of the undesirable and desirable at the same time. They took the lesser of two evils and decided, if this is what we have to do, then it has to be for everybody. As they say, one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch, spoil the barrel for the next person.
What about one bad balloon? Now we want to get into that.
Why didn't they do a public hearing? Now, this is obviously a public facility. People are using, some people want it, some people
didn't. We have to do things nonviolent in this society.
They did it behind the scenes. There were no public hearings. It didn't go through the downtown commission. It was just a backdoor thing, private meetings between Carol Heinrich of the Pacific Trading Company, Julie Hendy, the redevelopment agency, Chief Belcher.
Are you also condemning all of the facilities they put in to keep skateboarding down off the mall?
I'd like to see skateboarders allowed to use the bike lanes, frankly.
I would like it as well, but a lot of the facilities around here, for these ones who like stunt, using their as stunts, they have to put in facilities to keep them from doing that. Higher fences, they have to put in the little spacers, slats to keep them from sliding on the sides of the pavement.
I've seen those things.
They've got a solution. It's nonviolent.
If they put it like, say, on a park bench, a person could still sit on the park bench. It just kind of prevents a skateboarder from using that for a utility device. It doesn't impact the rest of the public who are completely innocent. This does. This impacts all old people, elderly people. This impacts disabled people.
If you take away seating, the seating wasn't designed to be here in the first place. Now that they put
I disagree on that. We could go back to the records and prove that.
In the beginning, since I've been here 25 years, this wasn't here. This only became a problem when it drew a non-desired element.
It became a problem in Carol Heinrich's eyes. When Carol Heinrich decided that she thought there were scary-looking people sitting on her planter, and she thought it was her planter.
She didn't have to do that.
It's not her planter. This is public property. Her property ends at that line over there, Corey, at the edge of her property. She has no more authority for what happens out here than any other person in the city.
If you are a merchant on the Pacific Garden Mall, then you are also responsible for the mall in and of itself. You're also responsible for its look and its upkeep, such as making sure that a non-desired element is in front of your shop.
What if she didn't like black people coming into her store? What if she didn't like gay people coming into her store? You know,
people who are out here who are only doing one thing or another that makes them undesirable, it's not because of race, creed, color, or religion. It is because of the manner in which they act or what they sell.
Well, in that case, then they could have used plenty of existing ordinances. If they're selling drugs, that's against the law. If they're sexually harassing women, that's against the law.
And
if
the police have demonstrated more than 50 times this year, their hands are tied when dealing with such individuals who are going to be back here in a 12-hour period. This takes care of the problem on a permanent solution. Rather than a Band-Aid, this is a long-term solution.
So then the same people that you say were problematic, I didn't see that problematic behavior, and I've lived here as long as you have, too.
And I work 15 feet away normally from these
people. They're not gone. They're going to go and gather in front of someone else's store.
And yes, and then they will eventually be moved on from there as well until there's no place for them to be. And as we say,
no place
if you
for
do
anyone
not
to sit
leave
down.
A dark corner, no cockroach will inhabit your house.
You know,
leave the lights on and they all run and go.
Call human beings cockroaches. That is a very foul.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's a description that I was telling you. It's an analogy. If you leave the lights on, the cockroaches run. If you make sure that they are no longer shown any form of desire, desirable for them to sit down, for them to congregate, for them to sell their drugs, for them to sit there, be mouthy, for them to do their drinking in public. If they have no place to do it anymore, then where are they going to go? Eventually, they will run out of their problems.
Well, I'm completely on the opposite end of this issue with you, Corey, because I really believe in a society where all people are valuable and have the same rights and freedoms. Whether they're someone who's shabby looking.
You cannot sell drugs in front of me and expect me not to respond.
Well, go over to Long's Drugs. They sell lots of drugs.
I didn't see them selling any drugs.
Okay, if you had a clue, you'd know what this conversation was about. Long's Drugs is another one of those establishments that has asked me to come out because of the drug problem in front of their shop. Now, I have four of these places, four of these retail establishments, and all of them have the same problem. They are coming to us, the positive influence on the mall, and asking us if we will be there. The problem is, there's only two of us so far, and we can't be in all four locations.
So, Corey, did you get paid today for working here? Or?
Actually, what I get is, I get drinks, I get to use the bathroom, I get some respect, and I get the permission from management to be here. I also get patted on the back, smiled at.
The sidewalk is this for them to give you permission. The cops leave you alone when someone who doesn't own the sidewalk at all tells them that you have permission?
Hey, but I have the same rules and regulations that you do. As you saw the officers earlier, I was asked to move. I wasn't told I had to, like you, because I wasn't being disorderly in conduct.
I wasn't disorderly in my conduct whatsoever.
Yet you knew the rules. You had an hour to move, and you chose to get arrested rather than move 40 feet either direction?
Now, 100 feet is not how the law is written, and
you're right.
And I'm not going to move an inch. It's my constitutional right to distribute literature. It's the First Amendment to the Constitution, and I won't be moved along by the Santa Cruz police.
That standing in front of the business that you're protesting gets you more respect than standing 100 feet from it and protesting the same way?
That's not the issue. And the flyer that I had written up didn't have anything about the business, although other people had flyers about the business. The issue is that the Constitution doesn't end in an hour, and I don't want to move my table. I shouldn't have to move my table. Elderly people should be able to sit down here when they're walking down the street as
you
Pacific Trading.
You've got apples for everyone, yeah?
Yeah, the bad apples are Candy Jackson. They're the Santa Cruz Police, and they're the Santa Cruz City Council. And it's people like you that support fascism.
And that was a conversation between Steve Argue and Mr. Twister, getting rather intense. On Sunday evening, after Steve and another man, Matt Hartog, were arrested, and we're going to play that arrest right after this.
The tale of the children of a troubled world. The tale of a search and of a long journey. Leaving the safe and guarded fortress, the searchers walk in the trackless places. From the world behind the wall, out from the shelter of green oasis, each one comes and walks alone, high on the stony ridges, stumbling across the broken ground, searching for peaks of fabled mountains.
I'm 19 years old.
I'm 15. 16.
15, 16, 17.
I'm just coming up for 18 years. I always seem to be searching for something.
Finger out of my face.
Yes.
Back up.
And actually now what I'm going to play for you after that dialogue is actually what happened about 3 hours before, when the police intervened and arrested first Steve Argue, and then an hour after that, Matt Matt Hartog. We'll first play the Argue Arrest, and here it goes.
And it's now about 3:30. Sergeant Baker has returned. We have Officer Pollock, Officer Phelps. Officer Phelps is called Mr. Argue over.
We're by the table.
Issuing a citation for Santa Cruz Municipal Code Section 5.43.02, non-commercial display. What I need you to do is sign in the red box. By doing so, you're not admitting guilt. You're just promising to contact the court by the 6th of August.
This law is a violation of the Constitution.
I don't need a commentary. I need a signature.
Freedom of speech. I refuse to sign.
Okay. You understand that refusing to sign a citation, you're in violation of Penal Code Section 853.5.
No, I'm not, because I'm asking you. I'm asking you to take me to a magistrate. I'm not asking.
All right. Let's go.
Okay. You know that on weekends there's no magistrate available.
You're going to have to say yes to
the jail, right?
Okay.
Understand that?
So it's you that's
doing that.
It's you that's violating the law here. You are violating the Constitution of the United States of America, which you are sworn to uphold.
By signing that, you know you keep yourself in jail.
I'm not signing it.
Okay. So
this law is a violation of the Constitution.
You demand to go to jail.
I'm not demanding to go to jail. You're taking me to jail. I wish that you'd get rid of this law, which is a violation
of
everybody's free speech.
We make the law, and it's not
you're enforcing a law that is a violation of the Constitution.
Man being arrested right here, handcuffed and taken to jail right here for tabling downtown. Take a look at this, folks.
You can go back if you'd like.
And the officer is confiscating his political literature, too. Make a note. Correction, the literature has been given to the man's wife. Man being arrested downtown for political tabling on Pacific Avenue. Check it out. While you shop. Hey, you can tell your kids about it. You saw how the First Amendment disappear downtown.
Come on, you guys can fight.
Check it out.
Can I help you?
Officer, confiscating the table. Confiscating a political table downtown. Oh, really? What's happening here, Sergeant?
It's his property. It's his property. It's his property. Get it back when he gets out.
We can take it for safekeeping if you'd like.
He didn't tell us to.
Oh, the police are just taking the table for safekeeping, folks. It's okay. Your First Amendment rights are still perfectly intact. They're just taking it for safekeeping, just like George Bush is taking your money for safekeeping and sending it over to fund a war overseas. Here we have our local war against the poor downtown. Man being arrested for tabling downtown in Santa Cruz. Sergeant Baker is the man doing the arrest. Steve Argue is the man being taken into custody right here. So fireworks are one thing, but this is an example of what happens when people watch. Here comes your police dollars at work, taking this man to jail. See how happy he is? He's having a good time. Weather is sunny. It's all okay. After all, we can keep shopping, right? All right.
Yeah, have a good day.
Police money to spend on one political table. Might tell you that all is not entirely well in Santa Cruz. They're leaving a man behind, a clown, who has done exactly the same crime that this man has. He's been at a display device for more than an hour, but they're taking away the political tabler. I think that distinction was made. I mean, I like clowns.
Understand, I'm 25 years as a fool. I know a fool when I see one. Now, understand the difference between standing here for an hour and giving your political view or helping with advertising is the fact that I interviewed for the job. He's breaking the law.
Is Mr. Twister speaking?
So what Mr. Twister...
I'm doing my job!
What Mr. Twister is telling you is, if the merchants pay you to be here for an hour, it's okay. But if you are an independent person and you want to exercise your First Amendment rights for an hour, it's not okay. In fact, he's wrong. Yeah. It's a non-commercial display. It applies to both people. Mr. Krister is an error.
It's shared by everyone. You get your hour to speak upon the stage, and then another is heard.
No one has asked that we move other than the police. We don't ask Mr. Twister to move. We like him here. We think he's good and a good part of the town. And we're glad you're here.
Everything in its equal measure
but
for everyone.
For police to drag away people in squad cars who are getting petitions signed and distributing literature is just wrong and bad.
The reason he did not wish to move his booth was there's no more shade. He can move it anywhere else on the street for another hour. He just chooses not to move it from here for this hour.
Actually, the reason he won't move it from here is because he's talking about the Pacific Trading Company. The Pacific Trading Company gave us a railing here which railed off poor people, a taxpayer money. $6,600 was spent to move this railing 4 inches so that poor people could not sit down here. That was done by the Pacific Trading Company and Jackson's Shoes. These businesses want to gentrify the downtown. That's why this table was here. It had nothing to do with the shade, actually.
The railing was never supposed to be a chair. When they moved it out so people would stop using it as a chair, they solved their problem.
So the solution to our problems is to eliminate all the seating space downtown so you now can go buy things and sit in paid areas. And if you're poor, you can go somewhere else.
First, America. Reality. Come on, folks, you're here to spend.
Not a petition, but a political
Santa Cruz, the city that pretends to be progressive, is actually a part of the same scene, the same repressive situation, which goes after people they don't like, which goes after people the merchants don't like, which goes after you if you don't have money in Santa Cruz. That's the problem we face in Santa Cruz today. Not a good thing.
The same man who used to protest my side this issue suddenly has changed faces.
Clarify that.
Well, let's see. A long time ago, I was trying to make sure that the people down here were not getting ticketed constantly, so we'd have enough money from the merchants to rebuild the mall so they would reestablish the mall as itself to bring people back to our tax base. Now, as I remember that, me and the merchants worked for 6 years together, and after that, you got along with me and helped me as long as much as possible as you could to make sure that people could come down here and park for 2 hours freely without being taxed or cheated. That helped the merchants. The mall is now remade, but now you're attacking the merchants.
Well,
the very source that we started out together to help.
We're attacking the policies of some of the merchants. And
what was the literature that they were trying to show?
The literature is here. It's about his previous arrest, and it's also about the policies of stores like the Pacific Trading Company and the city council around gentrification downtown.
They make fun of us, too. Look at their little signs. Legalize a four-day weekend. Like, it's symbolic. I mean, they're trying to say that we just, like, protest over anything. That's what my friend and I noticed the other night.
Well, what it really is they want to be, they're going to be chic.
Have you seen how expensive their clothes are? Who can afford them?
Yeah. Actually, we need someone to do a research project and find out exactly what's going on in there. If you're interested, check them out. See, you might want to volunteer and find out how much they pay their employees. We're looking for information.
Is it bad to have a political table up for more than an hour?
No, it's not bad. It's just
legal.
It's illegal because the merchants want to move people along, and people like Mr. Twister, they are clearly not moving along. That's why this citation. Nor should they.
Weird. It's really strange.
Yeah, it isn't. Well, it's selective enforcement is what it is. So. Selective enforcement downtown, folks.
No, that's right. You can have it.
Officers to this arrest, you might want to give your name and number over here. Steve Argue could use that information. Santa Cruz, where the tourist clowns are allowed to do their thing, but political activists are removed under the same law.
Yeah.
Colonel Coral Brune at 3:40 is setting up a very small political table. Actually, I think at one point belonged to Steve Argue. And she's back with her political table. And this man is continuing to bounce his ball. Sir, were you not bouncing?
I can't stop it. I am really addicted to bouncing this ball, even though I know I'm opening up myself to criminal liability.
$162 ticket.
So. Yeah, I sure am.
This man is stuck bouncing his ball.
Really? I can't let go of it, I'm telling you.
Here's the guy. Can nobody stop this man from bouncing his ball? In Santa Cruz, it's illegal to bounce a ball downtown, just as it's illegal to have a dog on Pacific Avenue. Boycott the Pacific Trading Company.
Sleep downtown.
We're talking to...
Catherine Johnson.
Catherine, where are you from?
Sacramento originally, but I lived in Santa Cruz for 4.5 years.
And you say you find it hard to believe that...
The homeless can't sleep downtown.
They can't sleep anywhere in town. It is illegal to sleep in your own vehicle, even when you're legally parked. If you fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night, it is illegal between 11 and 8:30 in the morning.
Wow.
But you yourself witnessed this sort of... How much of the situation here did you witness?
I heard you were talking, and I saw the guy get arrested, and I saw all the police come. I saw the police car come to take him away and arrest him and put him in the car.
What was your reaction to that?
It's very disturbing. It's very disturbing with our president, the way that he is. It's very disturbing to see that our rights will be taken away. You can see it right here in Santa Cruz. You can see it in, supposedly, like you were saying, the progressive place, but it's really not. And all the places in the United States, all in the name of security. To change the situation.
Police and the politician.
Arrest that man, for heaven's sake. What are you, some sort of a terrorist?
No.
Police surveilling a political table downtown, right there. Officer Young. Is he on the beat, making care that people are not being assaulted or raped? No, he's watching a political table downtown because the Pacific Trading Company and Jackson Shoes wants him to. What is that, $25, $30, $35 an hour? How much are we spending for this officer to politically surveil 2 days after the 4th of July in this country, political surveillance in Santa Cruz right here, downtown? Don't trust me. Ask him yourself, everybody. Ask Officer Young what he's doing downtown right now. He's watching this table, which can't be here for more than an hour. Now, he's not arresting a clown who's been here for more than an hour and doing exactly the same thing as far as a display device is concerned, but people who give out political messages are dangerous. Dangerous. Come on through. Oh, ho, a criminal sitting on the railing. What is your name, madam?
My name is Gretchen.
Hey, Gretchen. And what do you make of all this?
Well, I'm from Los Angeles, and in my opinion, I completely support the philosophy that you're coming from and where you're coming from. At the same time, in L.A., when there's different things going on, to me, I see that as a positive thing because in L.A., people, things happen and we need the police there, you know? And I think that being in Santa Cruz and downtown, you're real fortunate to have a peaceful community in the sense that no one's going to get shot right now, but that happens in L.A., you know?
But this, it wouldn't happen here, so he's not needed here.
Such a, you know, obviously educated person as yourself, but why waste time pointing a finger at him then and let him stand there and show that we can coexist, but...
Because
we don't need to
he's
act
here,
out and point fingers.
But no, we do, because he shouldn't be standing watching a political table. He should be doing his job, which is looking for crime, and he's not doing
actually,
that.
Actually, I'd prefer he'd be right here, because if he wasn't, what are all the other cops doing here? They're just hanging around, doing nothing. At least he's walking around, interacting with the community.
Right. Take care, officer.
Yes. You know, the, what is it, five to four.
What about the clown?
We already told him.
Oh, I see. Well, he's been here for at least 2 hours. You know that. Ah, I see. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Can I ask you a question? Why did you call me a criminal?
Because what you're doing is you're seated on a railing, which is a $162 crime. That's exactly why they moved this fence 4 inches, so the people could not sit down here. We're talking with
Taz Barker.
And Taz, you're also known as
Xavier.
Xavier, you're a... I always have to say this because it's relevant. You're a man with dreads and darker skin than many of us.
Damn right.
And you also have a questionable backpack and a skateboard. Boy, that's three strikes and you're out, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I've been out before I even hit the door, man.
So you're concerned because you've been told not merely to stay off Pacific Avenue, but to stay out of the downtown?
Yep. Approximately June 18th, I think it was Mr. Barton told me that I could...
Judge Barton?
Yeah. Told me I could no longer be seen downtown. I forget what exactly the order was, but he gave me some kind of, like, verbal diagram where I was supposed to draw to my mind mentally, basically the whole perimeter of the heart of downtown, and said, I can't go there. And if I'm seen there, that's 270 days automatically.
So would that be, let's say, on Soquel between Front and Pacific?
Yeah.
Like cracking. So it would be deadly for you to be seen downtown. What have the police seen you downtown?
Actually, they have. They've seen me on the Ave, and they told me not to be on the Ave, so I don't go on the Ave anymore. But it's not going to stop me from using the services and facilities down here.
We're talking about the restrooms nearby.
Restrooms, restaurants, the metro, what have you. Mm-hmm. You can get around the Ave, but it's just not very nice.
Now, you were given, actually, initially you were given a probation condition, and then it was extended, is that right?
Yes, it was.
When was the original condition given to you, and for what?
The original condition was a year ago. I had to keep 100 yards away from New Leaf, Lincoln and Pacific, 1124, I believe.
Okay.
And then I go back a year later because I had some trouble with probation. I had left the state and came back, and he said now I could not be downtown at all.
And you were originally convicted of attacking a minor with a knife?
No. Just your average bush doctor, marijuana sales.
Perhaps 15 pounds of marijuana?
It was barely 6 grams.
And this was your 14th conviction?
First ever, in my home state or here.
And how long did you spend in jail?
I spent 3 months.
And you sold this to a minor?
No, I sold it to college students, friends of mine. No one who particularly looked like they wouldn't need it, I wouldn't sell it to.
So, let me understand this. This was a first offense. You were given a 3 months in jail, no opportunity for probation. You're on probation now, I take it.
I'm currently on probation.
For how long?
About 3 years.
And you were told on the basis of one conviction that you are a repeat offender and can't come back to the mall?
I wasn't told that I was a repeat offender. I was just told to stay away from the mall. I have no idea what their motives were, but I think that's pretty wrong, seeing how it was my first conviction, period.
I know they're talking about keeping repeat offenders away from the mall, but you are just a first-timer.
Yep. I'm pretty clean.
Yeah, but you have these questionable honeysuckle flowers behind each ear. Maybe this makes you a sexual threat.
Only to the ladies.
I'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Yeah, couldn't hang handle on the mall whatsoever.
Okay, we're talking with...
John Ducharme.
Show me your sign, John. What do we got here? Can you spare some change? Thank you. And do you know the name of the police officer who spoke to you?
No, I think he's a rookie, actually.
Was he light blue or dark blue?
He was dark blue.
Dark blue. And where were you sitting?
We were sitting over by Hoffman's. Not by the fence, but over there on the corner where the utility thing is.
Okay, were you at least 14 feet away from a crosswalk or intersection?
Absolutely, yep.
And were you 14 feet away from a building?
Yep.
And were you seated with a sign?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, well, it may be... Let me see. Is it illegal? Yes, you have to stand with a sign, don't you? That's the new law. Let me look at the law. Okay, so I noticed there is a code section which states it is illegal under 9.10.030J to solicit while seating on or leaning against any public bench, planter, monument, or other public property. And so I guess this could be construed to be it's illegal to sit with a sign on public property, that being the sidewalk. But he didn't tell you to stand up, right?
No, he didn't. He said I had to leave the mall because it's illegal to panhandle on the mall.
He just said it's illegal to panhandle on the mall.
So yeah, he said you can't panhandle on the mall. Those were his words. He said I could panhandle off the mall, but not on the mall.
Well, if you'd like, I would be willing to sit there with you doing panhandling for you for a while. What is illegal is to... unconstitutional, but illegal to sit with a... It's illegal to sit with a sign. Because that's the new law. It was actually new as of last summer. No one's been enforcing it, though, right?
No, they haven't been enforcing it. They should make it a little bit more clear to you when they ask you to leave, I believe. You know what
I
mean?
I agree. Now, they can't tell you to leave the mall. That is not illegal. It's not illegal for you to be there. And do you have a probation condition of any sort?
No.
Are you a registered sex offender?
No, I'm not.
Are you an unregistered sex offender?
One of the above.
Okay. Well, I would say, and again, police officers make their own laws. He can always write you a ticket, and theoretically he could arrest you. And when he got to court, he could say, oh, I apologize, or gosh, the officer was wrong, or he wouldn't show up. So you got to be advised that's always happened. They just ran him off the mall for panhandling. They told him you cannot panhandle on the mall. He hasn't been convicted of anything. He's under no probation condition. He was seated with a sign. Now, if you want to, I wouldn't do this because I hate these guys, but see that clown with the red outfit, the guy's walking around, the host?
Yeah, I went to the downtown host, but they were too busy.
They were? Ah.
Well, there was only one in there. She was on the computer at the time, and I didn't really ask her anything because she was busy.
I see.
Nobody else was in there, just her.
Well, if you want, I will walk up, and I'll do a little sign holding and soliciting for a while. The cops, of course, never show up when I'm around usually, or they don't.
Well, he said he was going to come back.
Okay,
he also said the reason he told me was because he wanted to save me a ticket.
I see. Well, what you need to do is you need to take this with you and show him this.
You're more than welcome to do it for a while if you like.
I'm not going to be down here, and I'll be happy to do it for a little while, but you need to do it yourself, and also you need to show it to him.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to decide if you want to stand up and say, I'm sorry, you're in error. The law says this. Now, can you show me the law that says I can't be on Pacific Avenue? Where is it?
Right.
And then he will call his sergeant, and the sergeant will come over and say, well, you have to stand up. You got any...
Hey.
And actually, the ultimate outcome of that discussion, which I held with on the side street with John Duchesne, or Duchesne, was that he came up to me later in the day and said that the same officer had come back with CSO Pollock and apologized and said that he was just a rookie, that he made a mistake, and that what, in fact, John had been doing and had been doing for the last few months was legal. Actually, it wasn't legal for him to be seated with a sign, but it certainly was legal for him to panhandle on Pacific Avenue. That's legal. What this goes to show is, of course, I mean, John was very happy that the policeman apologized. And earlier today, and the same day, and we're talking about Sunday, 4 days ago, on, I guess it was July 6th, we also had the case of Cosmic Chris, who apparently got a similar apology from Officer Bechtel, who had first told guitarist Cosmic Chris that he could not play his guitar next to a building and have his donation hat or case or cap 10 feet away from the building. You see, there's a law that says you have to have a display device 10 feet away, but you can still essentially stand wherever you want. She was wrong, and she acknowledged that to Cosmic Chris. Cosmic Chris was impressed that she did. And so actually, during this Sunday, where I caught the same story from Cosmic Chris, and I heard the same thing from John, that this police officer had apologized, initially I had thought that there was going to be a sort of a mellower perspective downtown, where there were various people playing music, and even seated on benches playing music, imagine that, or even displaying their CDs. There was a black couple displaying their CDs near the feeding program that was good, that's on every Sunday in front of the Cooper House, Pastor Adams, the Potter's Hand program, and they weren't being harassed. And as I said, Mr. Twister was not being harassed, and for a while, our table wasn't being harassed either. But, of course, that changed, and you heard the change. Steve Argue was arrested, and taking over the table was Matt Hartog. He actually can't take over the same table. You have to move the display device. He set up a second display device, again urging people to sign petitions to boycott Pacific Trading Company and Jackson Shoes and end the downtown ordinances and stop the massive police presence and harassment on the mall and so forth. And we're going to play some more of what happened as he was taken off to the Hooskow.
Okay, we're going to try this again. We're talking with
Dennis Elliott.
Dennis, you got into town 3 hours ago?
Yeah, 3 hours ago.
You are from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
And the first thing you found when you got into town was?
The police.
What happened? What were you doing?
Well, no, see, I'm toting this big-ass backpack, man. Like I said, it's 120 pounds.
Really?
And I go to a beer store to buy me a cold beer, because hell, it's hot, you know? And they sell me beer, and I ask them, where can I drink it? They said, on the boardwalk. You can drink on the boardwalk. So I go to the boardwalk. pop me a can of beer open. Next thing I know, police come give me a ticket for open container.
You have a ticket with you?
Oh, yeah. Show it
to me.
Remember, you had the other one.
Well, and I throwed a couple of them away. I still got one, though. And then, I ain't paying them any goddamn way. I mean, because I ain't got no money. Hell, I'm traveling. Yeah. But, yeah, they gave me a ticket. They gave me a ticket for drinking on the beach. And then they told me I had to go up and sit at this place with them picnic tables. And there's a sign there saying you can drink, so I'm drinking up there.
Come, y'all, drink your beer right here.
Yeah, it says if y'all going to drink, please do it at the picnic tables. So I'm drinking at the picnic tables. Police come up and give me a damn ticket for drinking there, too.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're listening to taped audio from Pacific Avenue on Sunday, last Sunday.
Go ahead.
Then I ran into this fella right here, right? And he said, we go over by the skate park and have a beer, you know? He said, it'd probably be pretty cool over there. I said, no, better try and drink me a beer at the damn railroad tracks. Oh, he's coming walking through there. Give me another damn ticket. That's the one you got in your hand there, boss.
Like a ticket for Dennis Edmund Elliott. And you got a Denver, Colorado address?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the one I give him, because, hell, I ain't going to know where I live.
And we're talking 9.12.030, open container, something about natural ice infraction.
Right.
Officer Tiefert.
Natural ice infraction.
I've got no idea.
Well, that's what kind of beer he was drinking.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Now, this says it was at the fun spot. Were these all three different police officers?
No, two of them were teachers. The first two tickets was the same fella. He got me on the beach on the sand. He told me I couldn't be there. I had to go up to the picnic table. I go up to the picnic table. The prick come back and give me another one up there.
So, in other words, he sent you to a place that he then ticketed you for.
Exactly.
You notice his name.
Well, I don't know. I thought that ticket. I mean, I was mad. I thought him in the garbage.
Where were you? If you can, retrieve it from the garbage and get it to me.
Well, I imagine they probably emptied it by now, but...
Yeah.
Because it was pretty full. I had a bunch of beer cans in there, Bob.
I got you. This was some distance away from here. We're now in front of Borders. But
I don't know where the hell I'm at. I'm still down here. It was down at the beach, though. You know where that arcade thing is down there? And they got them picnic tables out back of it? I was right there. That's where he sent me up to. And then I'm drinking there. And their signs say you can drink there. And then he come up and give me a damn ticket anyway for drinking there.
Okay, now this is...
I dumped my damn beer out, too. Now, that, you know, look here, for a poor fella, that get expensive.
And what time of day did this happen?
Well, the first two, I think, was about 4. I don't know what the hell time's on that ticket.
This time says 2020, which is, I guess, what, 8:20?
Something? Yeah, probably somewhere in there. But it was, like, retarded.
July 5th. This all happened yesterday.
Yeah.
After you arrived. You going to stay in town, or you going to take off?
Hell no, I'm leaving. I ain't paying these.
Right.
You know, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. Y'all want to spend the money, come get me. God bless you.
My apologies for our backward police department.
Well, that's all right. They got that way pretty much everywhere.
Here, here.
Yeah, Lord, don't you know.
We've been talking with
Dennis Elliott.
Thanks, Dennis. Robert, we're talking with...
Ross Jesse.
And Soothsayer, you have a green producer's dairy farm milk crate.
Yeah. And supposedly the only people who can use this are people from this dairy farm. I found it on the beach. Someone obviously brought their dairy farm products to the 4th of July festival. I was cleaning up during the festival and the next day, the 5th, after for the, you know, Save the Shores or whatever they're called. And they said, well, the kind of plastic that it's made out of, we can't recycle it, and it's too big for us to go dump in the garbage. So why don't you take it, or we'll just leave it here, and someone will, you know, recycle or do something with it.
Who told you this?
The Save Our Shores people, okay. The volunteer organization that organized the cleanup. I was doing it on my own the first day, but then I decided, hey, I'll help these guys. They had a good band out there and everything. Anyways, so they said, take it. And I said, well, I've had these dragons before, a wagon without wheels. What do you call it? Dragon, you know what I'm saying? So it was a nice green dragon, but now I got a pink dragon because my homeboy hooked up. Because they said they're going to give me a $200 ticket. So I'm going to tie it to this tree right here, and we can play basketball.
I see. Well, this could be a new sport downtown, but you know, we have no balls on Pacific Avenue. It's illegal to play with balls. Frisbee is also illegal, but I commend you on your forward and, I commend you. I just commend you. You're commended. Berlin?
They say you can't sit on certain parts of the block, and it changes, you know, just like certain liquor stores, different prices for different people. Different police officers, or the same one, depending on how they feel, will tell you either sit here or you can't sit here. No lying down, of course. You know, no relaxing on your planet Earth and your Earth mother's womb. But so I encourage you to just squat on 2 feet. It hurts the knees a little bit, but I'm sure there's some kind of yogic fucking practice or some kind of beneficial shit to sit in that way, because all the Vietnamese people do it, and, you know, they're pretty healthy folks, so... You know, that's good stuff. I'll
Thank
listen
you,
to your show. I'll listen to this.
I expect you to call in and we'll do some cool shit.
I'll be in town. We run a free music in a park in San Jose. Shit. Let's just say every day at 4:20. And some days it might not be there. You just got to go sing yourself at the Robert, F. Kennedy Jr. or whoever, Robert Kennedy Amphitheater in St. James Park. We're trying to just turn the park. It's not so much drug park, but just a people's park. Like at Berkeley, we want a little free box kind of thing. They got a good thing going at Berkeley. Anyways, we're going to do that. You know, no beer sponsors. The people in that park don't need any beer sponsors. They don't need cops, and they don't need security guards. And so it's free music, free jam session, free food. Bring something to eat, drink, or smoke. Come out at 4:20 or 3:20. Let's say 3:20. Give us an hour to prepare and get everything set up. We're trying to get Food Not Bombs out there. We're trying to do, you know, homeless activities where the homeless can feel involved, where it's not necessarily just, you know, a church and do-gooders feeling good about themselves for helping the homeless. Because that's good, but the homeless people need to get self-esteem back and feel like they're, you know, part of this earth. Because many of us are. And they recognize that, but still there's, you know, dope problems and other shit like that, so.
Well, we're cutting you off, soothsayer, but you've been doing some good soothsaying.
Thank you.
Yeah. Alrighty. Talking with...
Yeah.
So, I see that soothsayer man is doing some broccoli catch. Oh, boy. Actually, it is illegal. I should warn you. It is. It's a projectile. If you throw anything through the air...
Wow, no. America. It's just so typical, like, Americans throwing food around like it's nothing.
And so, we're going to call you M. Hi, M. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing fine.
You got some stuff to tell us. What do you got?
Yeah, well, last night I opened Trade Shop, as I called it, which I brought out my butterfly little patches and, like, all kinds of little jewelry knickknacks. And I was just trading with people and giving them, like, free bracelets and stuff. And the cops came up and said that I couldn't be in 10 feet of this building. And they said that each little block of the sidewalk was 2 feet. And I happened to be 12 feet away from the building, and they still made me, like, put up my trade shop. So I was pretty disappointed, but I didn't want to, like, get in a fight with them and get all negative and, like, blah. So I just, like, walked away.
When was this and where was it?
This was last night, I think on July 5th, I'm not sure.
Where was it?
It was just near one of the planters where they put the trees and...
Right here in front of Borders?
Mm-hmm.
You know the name of the police officer who told you that?
I do not. It was two of them there, like, two police officers, like, coming up to me, like, a peaceful person on the streets, just trading with, like, different citizens, human beings. You know, two of them, like, they tried to, like, bring me down. I was like, whatever, you know?
Well, they would probably call it a display of merchandise. Display of merchandise is illegal everywhere on Pacific Avenue, and that's probably what they were claiming. They also, the thing called a display device ordinance, which says you can't set up within 10 feet of a building or 10 feet of a cross. Right, so that wasn't being violated, but anywhere, if you set up a display for sale of merchandise.
I was only trading. I only trade. I try not to use money because I don't like money. Because I think the idea of money is definitely...
Well, we don't want your kind of trader around.
I'm a traitor.
I have a question.
Yes,
who's
there?
Sound knowledgeable of that. What about, like, a tarot card people? Where they have shit on display. Obviously, they have crap there and cards and handles and crap. You know?
Tarot cards, particularly to call it a religious practice, is supposed to be protected, although they did run one guy off they gave him tickets, but those tickets were never taken to court. So,
I'm pending a case right here. They say it's pending. I said, well, how long is it pending? Because I got to check back. I don't have a house. I have nowhere to call. They can maybe call my parents.
When were you arrested for...
I wasn't arrested. It was a sight and seizure. It ended with citizen arrest about a month or two ago for stealing 3 beef sticks out the New Leaf. The security guard found me outside. I gave him back his beef sticks. Here you go, sorry, I was just hungry. He said, well, I said, I'm leaving, and I started walking. He's like, I'm going to call the cops if you leave, or come inside and we'll just talk about it. I go inside, he obviously called the cops. The cops come in. I sweet talk them because I'm a chameleon and I can deal with Babylon system, you know what I'm saying? So they all loved me, and they said, go take care of it. And so it's still pending, so I have to wait like a year to find out if I get pended for cited or served time for stealing 3 beef jerky sticks.
You are just a questionable criminal.
I suppose so. I don't know.
We're talking with John. And John, you're the man who was told to leave the mall for panhandling, but apparently you've resolved that issue.
Right, I ran into him again, and he said he didn't understand the rules down here because he was new, basically. A CSO officer was with him, and the CSO officer said, well, you didn't talk about myself, didn't explain it to him, didn't explain the laws to him. Well, I he was in a hurry, the cop was, in a hurry to get out of there, so he just told me to leave and said he would be back later and left me hanging. So I caught up.
The CSO told you that you, that is to say, John, didn't explain the laws to the cop?
Right.
Wait a minute. Now, are they paying you for now for the city to be the lawyer, the city attorney to explain the laws to the police?
I don't know. I guess it's because we do know the laws better than they do, basically, because we study the laws, we research them, and we know what we can do and what we can't do.
So you're back in business.
Yeah, I'm back in business. I'm going to go back down to my phone.
I'll be there to harass you later.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
All right. Talking with Matt back at the table. Matt, you've been tending this small table here, and what are your plans?
Well, they told me I have 15 minutes left, so when they come back, I'm going to refuse to move and refuse to sign a citation in order to conduct a civil disobedience action, and they're probably going to arrest me. They're probably going to expend I don't know how many more thousands of dollars on this dangerous police action to arrest yet one more person for manning a
speech. Stop before you dive into the abyss of crime, Matt. For God's sake, think about it before you throw your life away.
Before I dive into the underworld, you know, it's just too seductive for me. It's just too seductive.
Actually, you've written Becky's number on your arm there.
You can hold on to my, I'll just hold my wallet, and you can hold on to my property here, and, you know.
Put it in your car.
Yeah, you can put it in my car, right.
Boycott the Pacific Trading Company. Don't do business with bigotry downtown. Balloons, yes. Bigotry, no.
Okay.
Hey, what is the rule about sitting on the inside since they pushed the thing out? Isn't this back rent now for facing the earth?
Conduct on public property, I would say.
Yeah. What's that? Misconduct of public
property? Misconduct, yes. Or Mr. Conduct, as the case may be.
Yeah,
you're going to go limp?
I'm going to go limp and make them carry me away. Well,
they'll give you a pain compliance hold, probably.
They'll what?
They'll give you a pain compliance hold.
Well,
you can start screaming, which is...
Okay. Wow.
And, again, we're talking, this is last Sunday, 4 days ago, with the second man who was arrested. This is actually before he was arrested. His name is Matt Hartog, and he kind of decided himself spontaneously he wanted to essentially affirm the right to politically table for more than an hour. If a clown can be there for 4 hours, why can't a political tabler be there for 61 minutes, even if the Pacific Trading Company doesn't like it? The important thing here that you can't see, and I think there was some video made of this as well. We're hoping to be able to show this video at some time, though Baker has closed down our video showings a week ago when we tried to show them, actually, a week and a half ago. Matt weighs about, 250, 300 pounds, I'm just guessing, but he's a hefty guy. And he's also a cancer patient, and he has lymphoma. And he's also, according to accounts afterward from his friend and from him, he is a UCSC student, a graduate summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa in economics, and just a person who is very, this is what he says anyway, very concerned about these issues. And you'll get to hear what the police did. You can't see it because Sergeant Baker won't allow us to show the video down there on the street. Though we've always been able to show videos before, and we were going to the city attorney and trying to get this changed, but it's springtime for you-know-who in Santa Cruz. From the song, the producers, springtime for Hitler in Germany.
Situation.
Peace and the politician.
Arrest that man, for heaven's sake. What are you, some sort of a terrorist?
No.
Police surveilling a political table downtown, right?
On public property, I would say.
What's that? Misconduct of public property?
Misconduct, yes. Or Mr. Conduct, is the case.
Back on track again.
You're going to go limp?
I'm going to go limp and make them carry me away.
They'll give you a pain compliance hold, probably.
The what?
They'll give you a pain compliance hold.
Well,
you can start screaming, which is...
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Here's a man who has declared he will not be driven away from political tabling. He's going to stay here until the police arrest him.
Wow, I haven't seen those half-cans in a while.
So it's about 15 to 5, and we're talking with
Matthew Hartog.
And Matthew, you've been tabling here for about an hour now?
That is correct.
And you say CSO Pollock came by and told you you had to leave after an hour?
Right. He stated that from the time the table had been set up to then was, you know, I had 15 minutes left. I had actually only been here about 45 minutes, but he was counting the time from the time the table had been set up.
Now, you've been here, I guess, Mr. Twister seems to be breaking down, but he's been here for, what, about 3 hours continuously now?
At least.
And apparently he's, I do like his balloon figures, but I wonder if his balloon figures give him a constitutional exemption.
Well, I think the balloon figures are artful and they're fanciful, but they don't make any political statements, which is objectionable to Pacific Trading Company or Jackson Shoes or the police department.
So if you make an objectionable political statement, you're not allowed here. But if the Pacific Trading Company likes you, you are.
That seems to be the criterion for enforcement.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this isn't the private area. This is a public area. So what does the Pacific Trading Company have to do with a public area?
Well, the Pacific Trading Company has, by fiat, been able to control this public space.
You mean like move the rail?
Even to the extent of having the city council spend at least $6,000 to $12,000 to move this railing so that nobody could sit on this public planter anymore. And this is at a time when the city budget is in deep deficit.
No, come on, not the Pacific Trading Company. They're a very public-spirited business. They wouldn't want to drive away poor and homeless people and elder citizens from here just because they're nervous about people who hang out here. They wouldn't do that. And they wouldn't spend taxpayer money doing it, would they?
They have extorted the city council to spend taxpayer money for that exact purpose.
The Pacific Trading Company, you mean, are they the people that passed the laws that had a man arrested here for having a political table about an hour and a half ago?
Well, on the books, I don't think the Pacific Trading Company is empowered by the citizens of Santa Cruz or the state of California to actually legislate, are they?
No, they're not.
Oh.
But they were the group that pressured the city council into passing a law that makes it illegal to have a table for more than an hour.
Right. Well, they seem to have a certain degree of influence with the powers that be.
Mr. Twister is back doing some more clowning around.
I love Mr. Twister.
I do too.
It just points up the irony and the dichotomy here, though, between political speech and artful speech.
Santa Cruz, where a man will be arrested within the next half hour here for staffing a political table.
I'm going to conduct a civil disobedience action because the city council has passed a law requiring political tables to move within 1 hour so that companies like the Pacific Trading Company don't get offended by things they don't like to hear about.
That's true. So, we don't want his kind around here. Luckily, they'll take him to jail.
I'm going to sign the citation and to get arrested, which happened to one of our citizens before, named Steve Argue, who ran for city council in the last election. And, you know, I'm going to continue and make this the second arrest of the day.
And again, we're talking about an arrest for violating a code section.
Speaking with Tess Bonneville.
And are you a local?
Yes.
Yeah, you've been here for how long?
2 days.
In Santa Cruz.
I've been off and on in Santa Cruz.
What's your reaction to this? Are you thinking here we have a bunch of show-off activists who are trying to cause trouble? Is it sort of a curious event? What does it mean to you? When you heard this description, what's going on?
I think it's time people started listening to other people, to other people's voices. So this is a show of getting the word out.
I think she hears you. Matt, I think she hears you. She hears you.
Sorry?
I said, I think she hears you.
Oh.
I asked her what her analysis of the situation was, and she said, well, anything you want to add to that?
We should be free.
Yeah. This is just one more little chip away of the civil liberties.
One big chip away, actually.
One step in the right direction to civil liberties. The more industry and business
downtown... Believe it or not, it's even technically illegal to...
expands upon opportunity and freedom for the people downtown.
That's great. You're from the Cato Institute, right?
No, actually, that would be realism versus idealism.
No, it's technically illegal to bounce this ball.
New York City's where all the communists are now. You can go back there.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Because I can't remember the exact statute, but it has to do with throwing a projectile or something like that. But it's the laws are structured in such a way that they can be selectively enforced against people that are unpleasant or who the merchants don't like or who don't have the right visage for the particular businesses downtown and so on. And so this one about, throwing a projectile was originally targeted towards hacky sack players. And the rationale was that old people could get knocked down by a hacky sack and get hurt and so on. Now, it's just one more thing, which is, which is crafted in such a way, the laws are crafted in such a way so that they can be enforced in order to shape the particular shape of law enforcement on the mall.
Any thoughts?
I tell you, that cream will work, and, the crabs will go away.
You shouldn't continue.
Thank you.
Oh, that started, so time's up.
Not me.
Oh, yeah,
no,
responsible.
He's responsible for it.
No, I told you, and you said it was yours. Remember when I was walking by?
It's not mine. You misunderstood me.
No, I didn't. I asked you, and you asked me, what about the clown?
It's not mine. I mean, we had a misunderstanding.
And this is a debate between me and I think it's Officer Young as to who was staffing the table. And this table was being staffed by, as you heard, Matt Hartog. And Officer Young apparently kept insisting it was me. He misunderstood a conversation we had.
Table. I might tell you that all is not entirely well in Santa Cruz. You said it was yours. Remember when I was walking by?
It's not mine. You misunderstood me.
No, I didn't. I asked you. And you asked me, what about the clowns?
It's not mine. I mean, we had a misunderstanding. I would tell you if it were mine. It's not. It's his.
No, I asked you and told you specifically. Right, standing right there as I was walking down there, remember?
You are in error.
Well,
let me put it this way. You misunderstood me or I misunderstood you. In any case, this man has been at the table. It's been his table.
Ms. Norris, do you remember me telling you that?
I'm telling you this is his table. That's all I'm telling you.
Do you remember me telling you that?
I remember you asking me a question about the table and mentioning you've been here for an hour. Something to that effect. Yeah.
Right, remember that? Right over there?
Right. However, it wasn't my hour. I think you misunderstood. He has been at the table throughout this period of time, and it's been his table. I didn't set it up. Did you set up this table?
Yes, I did. And I specifically volunteered.
Say so on it whatsoever. Okay.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Sir.
Yes.
Please
harassing a political table downtown about...
Now, the significance of this is, again, focusing on me. This is what Sergeant Baker did a week and a half before when we were doing a video display. The man who took responsibility for setting up the table, Jim Ross, he was not approached. I was approached. And then when Ross acknowledged he had set up the table, though there was some question later as to who had actual knowledge and responsibility of the video equipment, he interrupted the ticket, Sergeant Baker interrupted that ticket to Ross to come back to me. Again, it looks like, the focus seems to be on, dare I say it, targeting people that the police perceive as the leaders.
Not to make an arrest. Okay.
Then you're in violation of the ordinance and you have to be cited.
Yes. Okay. I want to let you know at the outset,
okay,
I will not resist arrest.
Okay.
I also, I decline to give you any information.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Can I see your ID, please?
I'm going to rest on the ground here.
Okay.
I'm tired. I'm a cancer patient, so I'm not feeling very well.
Okay.
Well, this guy should go to the hospital instead of maybe he should go to the hospital for his cancer.
Individual being cited for a political case.
Maybe he can provide his information because he's in some sort of...
He can talk.
On Pacific Avenue, right here, in the United States of America, we're supposed to be free in the speech.
Yeah.
Here. The hell out of the United States Constitution is what I want to know. Don't tell the part of the United States.
It didn't fit in the Disneyland that they built here.
Even though you're in California.
And you're in
California.
You
can't respond to us, I'm going to have to call you an ambulance. You need an ambulance.
He said that he didn't decline to give any more information.
I know, but I need to know if it's a medical issue as to why he's laying on the ground. I don't want him to die.
Medical.
I'd prefer if he told me he did not need an ambulance.
I heard him say he said that the ambulance is not doing well.
I guess we're going to have to call by an ambulance, huh? If he wants to pay it, they said.
For political tabling downtown in Santa Cruz.
I just say $10,000. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know your United States Constitution placed down the toilet. Place it down the toilet because it ain't worth it in Santa Cruz. 4th of July, it's the 6th of July. Two police officers are going to take a political table and a man who's tabling at us downtown here. Don't have no free speech. The Pacific Trading Company, Jackson Shoes, have passed laws that make it illegal for people to table for more than an hour. Your Constitution, but only for an hour.
I called the United States Marine Corps for 12 years so we could have a free country. What's up with this? I believed in the Constitution. Well, that's our Constitution, but I'm on those.
Yes.
Hell, I got shot three times for it. Now y'all want to mess with the president. He's doing nothing public. He's being peaceful. He's sitting over my head.
You might as well believe in the tooth fairy.
Well, I read it so, ain't you?
Where clowns can have a display device for as long as they like, but political tablers get 1 hour downtown. After all, we are on yellow alert, right? It could be dangerous to have political messages downtown, so we have our guardians. Our guardians here with nightsticks and guns and badges harassing us at a political table here.
He's not doing anything.
He's going right downtown on a political table right here, folks. Armed police officers stopping First Amendment activity in Santa Cruz. At the behest of the Pacific Trading Company. Remember that. If that's something you want to support, buy from the Pacific Trading Company.
We're watching a Constitution.
It's his property, and I want to take it if it's your guys's. Thank you.
Santa Cruz, where it is illegal to bounce a tennis ball on the sidewalk.
So he's laying on
the sidewalk. No power in Santa Cruz. If you throw a tennis ball downtown, these gentlemen will have a word and a ticket with you.
Yeah. thought you were trying to write a citation. Is that correct?
I'm holding my book. No, it's incorrect.
I'm sorry. The officer has not decided whether to write a citation or not, folks. The Constitution may yet survive this encounter. It could happen.
Are you an attorney?
No.
Do you have one?
No.
You want one?
Yeah.
Okay. You gonna be down there?
Yeah.
Really? What are you gonna do? Put your weight around it?
You might need one.
Hey, these are my friends. Did I already see my one friend get arrested?
You want another? Hey, you're talking to Mark.
Well, back eight, what do you think?
Where the media will not report attacks on First Amendment rights, where police insist on removing a political table at the behest of the Pacific Trading Company, which doesn't like exposure of the fact that it had the city spend $6,600 to move this railing 4 inches. A woman like that would get a ticket for $162. What she's doing is illegal. Sitting on the railing of the planet. When this man put up a sign talking about it, the police are here after an hour because he's not allowed to table.
Well, maybe we shouldn't boycott. Maybe we should.
I don't know.
Why all the consternation? Is there rape here? Is there murder here?
No. Yes, there is. It's a murder of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution.
There's one man trying to politically
murder here.
They raped the First Amendment right out of it.
And what's happening actually on this tape, which is taken about, 4:30 or so on Sunday, July 6th, 4 days ago, in front of the Pacific Trading Company, is a man is refusing to stop tabling, and he's refusing to have anything to do with the police, and what he's done is he's also a cancer patient, is lying down on the sidewalk. He was eventually picked up by 5 police officers, shoved into the back of a squad car, at one point screaming that they were breaking his arm, I believe, or breaking his wrist, something like that. Although he did not suffer those injuries later, apparently he just felt that way. And he was taken to Dominican Hospital, then taken to jail and booked, and he is facing 4 charges. He's facing a charge of lying on the sidewalk, a charge of tabling after an hour. He's facing a charge of false ID, because he doesn't understand that because he gave his correct ID, and he's also facing a charge of obstructing an officer. And he was back today, as was Steve Argue, the first man arrested, giving out literature at the Pacific Trading Company, urging people to boycott, urging people to be aware of the issues. And I think that's the way to resolve this whole question. And